It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific.
Why aren't they in jail right now? They brutally attacked a New York City police officer.
Coast to coast and around the world from the America Out Loud Talk Radio studios.
Our criminal justice system is upside down. It fails every day.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Vice President Kamala Harris is on the road, on the campaign trail, and she made her way to Atlanta, Fulton County, Georgia, where she is going to praise Bidenomics. That is what she is on the campaign trail to do, is tell everybody how good the economy is under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Well, let's look at some facts. Electricity, that expense, is costing you 29.3% more. Gasoline, 47.8%. Natural gas, 26.9%. Eggs, do you like eggs? Scrambled, fried, however you like them? Sunny side up? Well, they're costing you 49.3% more. Milk, about 15%. Chicken, 24%. Used cars, up 21%. Airfare, 32.7%. Transportation, 32.5% more than in 2020. That is what she is trying to sell with Bidenomics and Joe Biden as the president. And unfortunately, the audience that she'll speak to will believe it. They'll believe that Bidenomics has this economy and this country right where it needs to be. I'm Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Tuesday night. I really appreciate it. This hour is brought to you by Gold Code. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out if purchasing precious metals, gold and silver, is the right thing for you to secure your savings. That's BookerLikesGold.com. And all kidding aside about the economy, things are bad. American families, a family of four, they're spending about $12,000 more for the same things that they bought 4 years ago. It's taking its toll on the American people, especially middle class and lower class. But there are a lot of other things that are signaling things are not looking good in Joe Biden's economy and for America. GDP last week was 1.6%. It was a miss. They thought it would be at 2.4%. Not good. Additionally, we had the week before that, the inflation was up at 3.7%. Again, that was hotter than expected. So there are a lot of things that are not positive about the economy. You're feeling it. You know it. But the word stagflation is starting to be used. That's what happened under Jimmy Carter. And here we are with Joe Biden and Bidenomics. So as we start this hour, I want to get someone who knows a lot about financial things to tell us where are we? What's going on? Recession, stagflation, depression, what are we going to get into here in America in Joe Biden's last year in office, as long as he doesn't win the election? His name is Joe Lombardi. He is the CEO of Iron Hawk Financial. He has been a guest here before on my old show, which was called Our Lives in Politics. And we'll welcome him in now. Joe, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Booker.
Well, you were here when we were doing the Our Lives in Politics show, but that's been a while. It's been about 6 or 7 months. But it seems to me, I recall our conversation at that time being doom and gloom, and here we are later. And it's still the same thing, but we have other indications also from office leases. We have incredibly high credit card debt. Credit card balances are higher than they've ever been in the history of America. What are we dealing with? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, credit card in the last 3 years, debt is up 46%. We have repos highest ever in history the last 12 months. We have people back on their mortgage payments 3 months or more, highest since 2007. So when you take a look what's going on in our economy, it's pretty simple. We have inflation that's eating away the purchasing power of our dollar. We have taxes that have nowhere to go but up, where 99% of Americans own nothing but taxable assets, whether it's retirement assets, business assets, real estate. So what they're trying to do is inflate all the assets. So on paper, you're worth more money. Well, why would they do that? So they can charge you more taxes. It's pretty yeah. simple. And on top of all that, they're reducing the death tax or the estate tax from Trump from 15.6 million per person. So if you're married, that's like 26 million combined, all the way down to 5 million per person or 10 million combined. So if they increase the value of everything, they lower the estate taxes. When you die, that's less money that goes to the people you love, and that's more money that they can tax on already taxed money.
I also noticed that Joe Biden over the weekend, and he's mentioned it a couple of times last week when he's out on the campaign trail, that Trump's tax reduction that he did when he was in office is going to run out next year. And he talks about it like it's a good thing, but for someone making $75,000 a year, that just means they're going to have to pay $1,700 more a year. That's what that means. And so now you pile on top of that the inflation, the fact that a family of four is now spending $12,000 more per year for the same things that they got 4 years ago at for $12,000 less. And do you see a crash coming? Is that in our future?
So my prediction, which is a little different, is I think they're going to keep the economy up on stilts. I believe they're going to let Trump win the election because I'm under the personal belief that we don't actually control the elections anymore. And I think they're going to say, oh, Trump won. Aren't you guys happy? Republicans are going to dump a ton of money in the market, assuming there's, you know, the world's going to be wonderful. And then the major hedge funds, companies like BlackRock, Vanguard, S&G, PIMCO, they're going to crash. They're going to pull out. And that's going to crash the economy. And they're going to then point at Trump and say, hey, for 8 years, we heard how wonderful your MAGA guy is. Now look at him, just like they did with COVID.
That's interesting.
They're going to do the same thing. That's my take on it. I think they're going to insert him back in. We're going to be happy. And then they're going to crash the economy and say, look, that's your savior. And they're going to try to destroy Trump by crashing the economy.
Well, we see that the feds are going to maybe announce something coming up this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are they going to cut interest rates?
So we're already in May, and you know, it's May 1st.
Yeah.
So when you take a look at that, they were supposed to cut the interest rates three times in 2024. Well, we're already 40% done with the year. They haven't cut them once. So if they come out saying that they aren't going to cut them in May or June, you are going to see a huge correction in the market, similar to what we saw in 07, in my opinion.
Well, they're afraid to touch it in a political year, typically, aren't they?
They want to make Biden look as great as he can to keep the momentum of, in my opinion, election that may or may not been fraudulent. And they're trying to save face from a failed government perspective on all levels. They don't care about the Americans. They're sending money out, money overseas. We have open borders. They're giving benefits to illegal immigrants while shunning their own American citizens. It's really a disgrace. And they do not want a market crash on top of it while Biden's still in presence.
Joe, did you see the comments of Jamie Dimon last week? He is the CEO of Chase Bank. And I have seen that he is maybe lobbying to become a cabinet member, regardless of whether it's Joe Biden or if it's Donald Trump. He's playing both sides right now. What are your thoughts on that? And did you see that?
Well, I didn't see that specifically, but I can definitely agree that the government is not run by its people anymore. It's run by corporations. Because usually the Democrats said, oh, you know, the corporations are bad. And then the Republicans would say, oh, the government's bad. But it's the same beast.
Yeah.
We are mad at the exact same thing. They just try to divide us by giving us false information. So no matter who wins presidency, corporations, companies like BlackRock, who are worth more money that would fit an entire stadiums, all of them across the country, in $100 bills from the field to the ceiling of the stadium, they have total and utter control of our government, and they have for a very long time.
And our corporations and our homes, when you check into the single-family residence and the fact that It's getting harder and harder to buy a home. The prices are up. The mortgages are up. Does that concern you that companies like BlackRock and Vanguard and others own so many of these single family residents?
Well, I mean, I have three children, and it's very scary to know I'll bring them into a world where the American dream has been decimated by corporations and the government. We're already slaves to the government in taxation. Now they want us slaves to the corporations in debt. And literally, we already work January to June for the government. Now, if you add all the interest on your mortgage, your student loans, your cars, your credit cards, we're literally working to October. And then if you add sales tax, car tax, cell phone tax, tobacco tax, alcohol tax, gasoline tax, federal, state, FICA, Medicare, unemployment, Social Security, we are taxed to the point of death, where it's all by design, because we are property of the United States of America corporation. We don't live in a country. We live in a corporation state.
It would be great to have freedom, true freedom. But the things that you just talked about, they bind us, don't they? And that's probably by design as well, isn't it?
How we are $300 trillion in debt between U.S. unfunded liabilities, Medicare, Social Security, and our national debt shows us that we are owned, and they are using our future labor to write notes against the Federal Reserve.
I heard
so
Janet,
it's all by design.
Yeah, I heard Janet Yellen a year ago in a hearing. She was testifying, and she said, as long as we pay the bill, we're in good shape. And I think, well, you know, that's true of families as well until somebody loses a job. You know, that's the way a lot of American families have lived. We'll put it on credit, and a lot are living that way now by force. They've had to pay bills with their credit cards and savings, and then all of a sudden they lose a job or they miss a couple of paychecks, and they're on the street. And yet, you know, you make the point that government, as long as they can continue to write the checks, whether it's backed by anything or not, it really doesn't matter, because it's really backed on us and the fact that in the future we're going to continue to send our money to them, isn't it?
Well, they make you believe when they say a government spending bill. How does the government make money? The government doesn't make money. It's taxpayer bill. And they make these changes in language to make you believe that, oh, the government is funding this, the debt relief, the school loan forgiveness, that's going to be paid by the government. Well, the government has a $0 income. They make 100% of their revenue from taxes. So that's a citizen, U.S. citizen funded program that if you get money now, you're going to pay them 10 times later, similar to a 401k, which is like the worst long-term investment, period, from liquidity, taxation, fees. I mean, Wall Street and the government have been in bed for decades. And on top of all the taxes, on top of all the interest, then now Americans are putting their retirement assets with the government, and the government's taking half, and then Wall Street's taking half in fees over a 30-year period. So you're left with a quarter of your dollar when it's time to actually divvy up the money as an income in retirement.
You know, the hedge funds have really taken control of the markets, and it seems like it's probably been the last 25 years that has changed. I can remember 30, 35 years ago that a person would buy a stock for a long-term investment and sit on it because they believed in the company, they believed in the workers at that company, and all of that has changed. The stock market really has become more of a slot machine, and like it's going to Vegas and gambling. And when you have those huge hedge funds with trillions of dollars jumping in and jumping out, it can leave the American just sitting there holding the bag, can't it?
I mean, our grandparents used to receive a stock certificate. Google it. It's beautiful. Leafing on it. And you actually owned a piece of that company. Now when you invest in the casino or the stock market, you're not owning anything but a speculative position. So what most of my clients are doing now is they're finding creative strategies to utilize option contracts. Because if you're not going to own the actual asset, then why not have a downside protection where you can't lose and have more exposure on that asset if it goes up?
Yeah.
And it's been very popular recently.
I have seen that these office buildings are vacant and that that is going to put a real strain on banks. Have you seen that, and are you concerned about that as well?
Yeah, I mean, COVID really decimated the let's all be at the slave owner's house and do the work together. And that really has changed, which has opened up a huge hole in commercial real estate. So we have that issue. We have the residential real estate, which is highly inflated, and the interest rate market is extremely high relatively to the past decade to two decades. So we are in a bigger bubble than 07. And that whole mortgage-backed securities that caused the 08 crash, mm-hmm. they've been selling those since 2010. So we are just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. Well, history does repeat itself. And I do see a major crisis on the horizon. I don't know when, I don't know what, but there will be a spark similar to 07, which is going to cause everybody to realize we've been living in a stilted up economy that has failed years ago. And we will then realize through corrections and downs.
You're listening to Joe Lombardi. He is the CEO of Iron Hawk Financial. And I want to get to the banks. You know, going into 2024, I saw a lot of information. A lot of people were speculating that the banks were going to have a rough year this year. And many banks would close, like we saw last year out in San Francisco, where several banks collapsed in a matter of days. And we really haven't had that this year. We had one last week. I touched on it last night on the program. But that's the first one this year. And typically, 4 to 5 banks fail every year in America. Is that a good sign?
So the question is really, what do I do? So what I do for my clients is I set up their own banks. There's a book I've written on Amazon, one of my many books, called Being Your Own Bank. The safest place to put your money, believe it or not, the strategy that survived World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, and the Civil War is insurance companies. That's the safest place to put your money historically. They don't have micro-lending like banks do. When a bank takes in a dollar, they lend out 10. And then when that guy gets the money, where does he put his money? He gets the loan, he puts it back in the bank, and they lend out that dollar 10 times. So the bank runs are inevitable the way it's set up. Insurance companies, by law, have to keep the dollar they put in there. So when you take a look at the Great Depression, when bank runs, people are waiting in line for their own money, you don't have that risk inside of an insurance company. So that's basically for the last 21 years, what I've been setting up for clients is saying, get out of the government. I love my country. I do not love my government. I do not love the banking industry. I worked in Wall Street. I've seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street. That wasn't some made up fiction. I've seen things in that movie happen in my own eyes in Manhattan. So when you understand how everything is set up, you have to diversify your liquidity, your taxation, and your market exposure or capital risk. And 99% of Americans do not do that. And when taxes go up, when the market goes down, when inflation and interest rates go up, you are going to lose on every single asset you have.
So what do you tell people to do then? Is to buy insurance-backed securities?
So the strategy called Be Your Own Bank, Infinite Banking, Rich Person's Roth, there's a couple articles on Forbes on my strategy, one written by a certified public accountant, one written by a certified financial planner. It is saying use section code 7702, which is embedded in life insurance. So I understand people are like, oh, I'm going to invest like $50,000 a year in life insurance or whatever, $15,000. That's insane. No, you're not investing in life insurance. You're investing in the wrapper around your money that is the death benefit is tax-free. Therefore, all the money you have in there is tax-free. There's no 59.5-year rule. There's no 10% penalty. There's no federal tax. There's no state tax. And quite frankly, the last 20 years, the strategy's been averaging 15% tax-free on your money.
that's pretty strong in today's market. I think, and is it conservative? Are you going to lose that money? What's the risk?
You're guaranteed not to lose using option contracts. So how it works in a quick nutshell, when you buy an option contract called a call, you're betting on a said investment, stock, mutual fund going up. Well, how can I not lose in that? Because there's a cost of the call. Well, how you don't lose in that is the insurance company is hedging your position. So they're buying puts. So if that said asset were to go up, you're going to get 235% of whatever the gain has gotten. However, if the market goes down, the insurance company has the call position or the put position, and they're going to receive a profit on that position. So it's allowing my clients to have preservation of capital while also having hyper growth to cover inflation while having it tax-free and sue-proof. This is a trillion-dollar industry that is not mainstream. So who is investing in that? All the millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires in the world are investing in it, similar to Shohei Ohtani, who just got a $700 million deal to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Do you think he puts his $700 million in a bank with only a $250,000 FDIC insurance? No. He puts his money in this strategy so he can leverage that money and legally pay no taxes when he needs money for whatever the cash is needed for him in that time.
Well, it is interesting, and it's hard to understand in a couple of minutes. So tell people where they can find you and find your books as well so they can read in more detail and maybe get some more information.
Sure. So, Booker, I'm offering every single one of your listeners who are interested, I will send them all three books I've written on Amazon, Being Your Own Bank, There's a Better Way Than a 401k, and Long-Term Care Without Long-Term Pain. I'll send all three of those books to your listeners for free through email in a PDF. I'll also send them the articles I personally been featured in International Business Times, Business Insider, Market Insider, and I'll send you the two Forbes articles that were written by the Certified Public Accountant and the Certified Financial Planner. Just send an email to Joe, J-O-E, at iron, like the metal, hawk, like the bird, financial.com. Joe at ironhawkfinancial.com. You can also go to my website, www.ironhawkfinancial.com. There's a contact us button. Fill out your name, fill out your email and your phone number, and I will personally reach out to you. I want to say I've never lost a client a dollar in 20 years. I never charged a client a dollar in 20 years. I'm 5-star rated on Google, and I'm A+ rated on the Better Business Bureau. My goal is to help as many people as I can get out of the government matrix, the banking matrix, and the Wall Street matrix. We're all designed to take your money and do what the successful, wealthy people do, no matter your net worth or your income.
Joe, thank you so much for coming back on the program. I appreciate it. And the last time you were here, I think I called your company Fishhawk Financial once. And I made it through this time without doing that. But thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Booker.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott. I am Booker Scott. Don't forget to go to AmericaOutloud.news. Go to the shop there. Use the promo code OUTLOUD. Also, the brand new show Unleashed, the Political News Hour. It launched last night. It will be back on tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, if you saw on Tuesday, February 6th, there was some bad news for Donald Trump in the D.C. circuit, where three judges ruled against him and for Jack Smith in that immunity case. There was also some good news for Donald Trump that came out of South Florida with Judge Cannon. I'm no attorney, but I try to find people that can answer questions for us, and I think I've done that. Eric Matheny is going to join us now. You may know Eric if you're on social media. He is a huge social media influencer. He has a podcast, and Eric, welcome, and start with telling everybody where they can watch your podcast and then kind of roll into this D.C. circuit.
Yeah, it's always funny being called an influencer. If you're influenced by me, I question your judgment. It's like I would not belong to any club that would have me as a member.
Well, I didn't know how else to describe it. You have a huge following. What about that?
I appreciate it, and I love being called whatever I can be called at my age. If you're called anything other than "Hey, you," it's a huge boon. Anyway, my name's Eric Matheny. You guys can follow me on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. It's still the old Twitter to me. At Eric M. Matheny.
Yeah.
Hell no, man. It's like if you grew up with a stadium, you're gonna call the stadium what it was when you were a kid. Down to 15,000 different corporate brands it's been since then. So that being said, I'm Eric M. Matheny on Twitter. Gab, Truth Social, you name it, you know, all the platforms. And we have Bob and Eric Save America, our podcast. Download us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and check us out on Rumble. And we stream live on Twitter every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern.
And did I even mention that you're an attorney in South Florida? I don't know that I did, but you are an attorney in South Florida. So let's get into this D.C. Circuit decision. We had a 3-0 decision. Two of the judges were appointed by Joseph Biden, and the third one, I believe, was George Bush, the second George Bush, if I'm not mistaken on that. So what was the decision? I believe it is a stay until around February 12th that Donald Trump's attorneys will be able to respond to that to work up an appeal to the Supreme Court?
Well, that's precisely it. Procedurally, that's what's going to happen. So the defense obviously gets an opportunity to respond. They're probably going to take it up to the Supreme Court, which I think regarding anything, including the prosecution of a former president, you know, mind you, we're in unprecedented territory. This has never in U.S. history ever happened before. And we have a president facing 91 felony counts, four separate cases, two federal and two state, one in New York, one in Georgia. And they have until, I think it's February 12th or 13th, to issue a response and then obviously take an appeal up to the Supreme Court. But the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals basically said, they call them Citizen Trump. They said, you don't have that immunity because you're no longer president. I think the issue that a lot of people are wondering is, you know, these are acts allegedly that occurred while he was the president. So with that being said, I think it does create some issues. Certainly opening the door that any president can be prosecuted if you're not immune from the actions that you carry out when you're in office, namely in furtherance of the office. You know, you have to draw a distinction between what's in furtherance of the office and what's not. And certainly, I think as far as the January 6th stuff goes, he should have that immunity. Now, if they're alleging that after he was president, that he's showing people these documents, I mean, from a legal standpoint, I think I understand the reasoning, although I disagree with the prosecution entirely. And especially when you look at things that you know, Clinton has done and Biden has done. I mean, Presidential Records Act, I believe, is pretty clear on that issue. But I do understand the immunity in this, especially with respect to the documents case, is how they're alleging that these acts took place after he left office. So that's really the distinction they're drawing. And ultimately, it's the Supreme Court that's going to rule on that.
I think a lot of people, maybe some people listening to this right now, sometimes don't understand that when you go to the Supreme Court or even a D.C. Circuit Court like this, it's a very narrow question that they are being asked to rule on. And the question here, I guess, is there absolute immunity for the president? Is that correct?
Well, not necessarily would there be absolute immunity for the president. It really depends on what the president is doing. Is it within the scope of the office of the president? And certainly if it takes place after his term in office is over, he certainly may not enjoy that immunity. Mind you, we've never dealt with this issue before, so it's going to be very interesting to see how the Supreme Court rules on it. The Supreme Court has not been great on these issues, even though, you know, we fought very hard for Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett and the like, and they've certainly let us down on numerous occasions. But I think ultimately, I really, in all his cases, I think with the exception of the Stormy Daniels one, I think he can probably beat that on a motion to dismiss just due to the ambiguity in the law and the way it was prosecuted and filed. I think the J6, the Georgia case, and certainly the documents case are going to be resolved by a jury. I don't see them being dismissed or any grant of immunity being entered prior to them going before a jury.
Eric, I have never thought that any of these cases, with the exception maybe of the civil case in New York, would be resolved prior to the election. What's your feeling on that? What's your gut tell you?
Well, you know, the due process in this country for a criminal defendant is really enjoyed by the defendant. The state has less due process as far as what's afforded to the defendant, because it's the state, and that can be the federal government or the actual state government, stands in a position to take away your freedom. So we give defendants a lot of rights, and certainly due process and preparing and being adequately informed and ready to for you know, defend against the charges. If the attorneys need a continuance, I think the judges are going to err on the side of caution and give it to them. No judge wants to be reversed on, you know, like, hey, man, like, you should have given the guy more time to prepare. Obviously, you have with Jack Smith trying to limit the scope of discovery that Trump's team is entitled to. So, you know, they're having to do a lot on their own, happen to do a lot of investigation, a lot of FOIA requests, a lot of public records requests. So the judges have to give them adequate time in which to do that. Now, granted, federal court moves a lot faster than state court. I don't anticipate any of these cases going to trial before November, unless a judge really wants to be bold and put themselves out there and run the risk of being reversed and say, nope, you know, you're going, you better be ready. Mind you, you know, these documents cases, I've heard there's something like a million documents to go through. And the January 6th stuff, I mean, they want to go through all the January 6th testimony, and that's all essential. That's all critical in how this case is eventually tried. So I think that I'm sure, and I understand that it's in Trump's best interest to postpone it until after the election, because obviously if he wins the election, the federal cases are done.
Yeah,
those right. are done. He's going to pardon himself, or he's going to invoke the 25th Amendment, and his vice president is going to pardon him, and then he'll become whatever they have to do.
Right.
Or just his attorney general is going to just dismiss the case. So it's over. The Georgia case and the New York case, the state cases, those could still proceed, but if he is found guilty, they're going to stay his sentence until he's out of office. So and really at that juncture, I think he's free and clear. But obviously we want to get him to the finish line and get him there. And because we know, look, you know, people thinking, you know, he's going to beat 91 counts. He's not. Nobody beats 91 counts, right, especially in D.C., especially in front of these juries. Like, they're going to get him on something. And now if they try him over the summer and he's convicted, is he going to go to prison? No, of course not. They're going to stay at pending appeal. He's not a flight risk. He's not going to prison then. But, you know, unfortunately, if he loses the election, then the Supreme Court, which ultimately I think will be the deciding vote on this, says, you know, there were no errors committed in your criminal case. You're good to go. then the sentence can be imposed at that point. And I do think they are going to be looking to put him in prison. It's not going to be you go to trial and get probation. No, they're looking to put him in prison for the rest of his life, at least on the J6 stuff.
Let's go back to the discovery that you mentioned. I believe you were referencing the South Florida case and Judge Cannon. At the same time that the D.C. Circuit, the three-judge panel there, came out with that decision on Tuesday, at about the same time Judge Cannon in South Florida came out with the decision telling Jack Smith, you have to present these documents in this discovery. Am I off on that or am I pretty close?
No, you're pretty close. Look, you know, Judge Cannon is solid. She's a young judge. I just realized she's actually just a little bit older than me. And I like to think I'm a young guy. But in any event, she wants a fair process. And she understands that, you know, every move she makes is being analyzed. She's under the microscope. Like, you know, no federal judge has ever been in history. We've never had a former president prosecuted. And she wants to give it as much fairness as possible and equal the playing field, because anybody, especially I in criminal defense, will be the first to tell you the playing field is far from equal. The government is absolutely, you know, can overpower you as far as funding and resources and ability and access that they have. So she wants to make sure that the defense has access to the materials, that they are fully prepared, ready to go to trial. And you know, look, the last thing you want to do is get caught by surprise. There should be no surprises at trial. Every question you ask as a defense attorney, you should know the answer. Every exhibit, you should know what's going to be admitted. No surprises. And then he's got top-tier legal talent. And he's paying them a lot of money, and they're going to do their job. And the judges, if she's going to be reversed on appeal, it's not going to be on a discovery issue. It's going to be on something that happens during the course of the trial. But she's certainly not going to limit their discovery and give him more ammunition for appeal.
Judges don't like to have their cases turned over on appeal, do they?
No, it's a mark against them. And nobody likes that, and they're very cautious of that. It looks bad. It looks bad on them. It looks bad on their judicial record. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. So she's going to err on the side of caution, and you know, good, cautious judges are going to err on the side of caution for the defense, because the defense has the right of appeal. If Trump's found not guilty at trial, the government doesn't get to appeal that. If he's found guilty, he gets to appeal that.
Judge Cannon was appointed by President Trump, I guess. I would love to see a guy like Mike Davis as Attorney General. Should President Trump win the election in November, I think he would clean up a lot of things. Let's go to this 1512C that has slowed down some of these cases. This has to do with January 6th defendants. Can you tell people a little bit about that, just so they understand when they see 1512C, what that is talking about?
With regard to the J6 defendants?
Yeah, the J6 defendants, which also brings in Trump, kind of pushing back some of his cases as well and slowing them down.
Is that, are we referring to the witness tampering statute?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so U.S. Code, 18 U.S. Code 1512 is tampering with a witness, which basically means that influencing or trying to prevent the testimony of someone else. So, With respect to, now I haven't heard of this in the news. You'll have to prompt me on this. Is this with respect to Trump and his co-defendant?
No, it was two J6ers that brought this case. And because of it, it has sort of set aside Jack Smith in Washington, D.C. until probably June, because it brings in Trump into this 1512C debate and argument. But if you don't know much about it, we'll keep moving, because
I hadn't heard anything about it. I mean, obviously I know there's certainly concerns about, you know, witnesses trying to influence the testimony of others, and certainly he's got co-defendants. So that may be an aspect to it, but I haven't really heard anything in the news about that particular provision.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Fannie Willis. How do you pronounce it first? Help me with that, because I get so irritated with people on television, Fannie and Fonnie. I just want to call her Fannie or Fatty. What's going on with her?
Well, you know, she's a dirty bird, man. She had an affair with a guy who's working for her office and apparently spent a lot of taxpayer money on trips for them and things like that. I think her career is over, but as far as this extending to any prosecutorial misconduct that could result in a dismissal of the Georgia charges, I don't see that. Likely what's going to happen is another prosecutor is going to be executive assignment, basically. Another prosecutor is going to be is basically going to be handling this matter.
Do you think she's going to be
circuit?
Do you think she gets out of there? That you say her political career is over. Is that going to happen now? Are they going to expel her in Georgia?
The governor has the right to. You know, here in Florida, our governor, Ron DeSantis, has done that to quite a few prosecutors who he feels are not upholding the law. So certainly that can happen. But as far as it goes in Georgia, certainly she could be recalled. She could be suspended. The Georgia bar could take action against her. There are a number of ways she could be removed. And certainly the governor, Brian Kemp, I don't think he would because he's no fan of Trump, does have the authority to remove her for any kind of impropriety like that. But ultimately, it could go to a referendum back to the voters, and they could basically vote her out. Or even the Georgia State Bar can come in if they find any misconduct. I mean, obviously, if she was abusing, having an affair is not, you can't get disbarred for having an affair. The bar doesn't regulate taste. But certainly they can regulate things as far as, was she using taxpayer money or abusing her duty as a fiduciary to the people of Georgia?
And I think that's the case. And I don't believe Brian Kemp has enough backbone. I don't know about his feelings about Trump, but I just don't believe he has enough backbone to get her out of there. I think it's going to take the state Senate in Georgia probably to do something to get rid of Fannie, whatever you want to call her. You're listening to Eric Matheny. Eric, tell everybody about your podcast one more time, where they can watch it. And thank you so much for joining us here in the conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. Please check us out on Rumble and on Google Podcasts and iTunes, Bob and Eric Save America. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Gab, Cloud Hub, and Truth Social and Getter at Eric M. Matheny.
More Truth Be Told is coming in minutes. We're going to get into Precinct Strategy 101 with attorney Dan Schultz. It's on the way.
More Truth in Minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Yeah.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
And on the way tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Unleashed, the Political News Hour. That's followed by the National Security Hour. And then at 9 o'clock, it's After Dark with Robin Andrew. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for joining us. Also, don't forget about Viewpoint this Sunday with Malcolm, Sunday morning, and then the encore presentation of that. If you're not an early riser, you can catch that Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Next guest here is a marketing guru. He's written several books, a couple of them, Deep State, 15 Surprising Dangers You Should Know. And also the one we're going to get into here in this segment, The Christian Voter, 7 Non-Negotiables for Voting For, Not Against Your Values. His name is Craig Huey. Craig, welcome to The Truth Be Told.
Booker, it's great to be with you.
Well, you know, Craig, so many people are overwhelmed and they think maybe it's too late to do anything about this country. Is there anything that we can do? What do we need to do to make a difference?
We have the need to mobilize people to vote in this upcoming election, to vote their values and not sit on the sideline. And we also need to be able to do a major thing. In both of my books, one of the things I stress is the issue of government education, how the local public schools have become indoctrination mills in the smallest of towns in Iowa, in small little towns in Tennessee. Even in Florida, you've got local school boards and teachers that would rather indoctrinate the kids than teach the kids. And so having school choice is absolutely essential to turn America around. And then I've talked about people voting. You know, let me just tell you one example of a voting block. So many people in this last election did not vote. In 2022 and in the presidential race of 2020, they sat on the sidelines. I'll give you an example of evangelical churches. Evangelical churches, they will vote, those people will vote 84% conservative. But in the local evangelical church, the average church, about 40% of the people who are going to that church are not currently registered to vote.
It's amazing.
And then those who are registered to vote, about 60 to 70% of them will not vote in this upcoming primary, and about 50% of them won't vote in the general election that's coming up. And that's a failure of the pastors of mobilizing and the church and registering and getting them out to vote. It's a failure of church leaders. And yes, anybody going to church, they need to be light and salt in their local church to get people out to vote. We can turn America around. Right now, if I took a look at what's going on with the power of the radical left and the march towards socialism and the march towards secularism, I would say there really isn't much hope. But I got to tell you, the secret weapon we have to turn America around are the Christians in the churches, if they would get out and vote in this upcoming election. And so that is going to be the key. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Christian Voter, to be able to give practical ways how Christians can mobilize people to vote their values, not against their values. Well, one thing, in the 24 states that have ballot harvesting, the church can do ballot harvesting. For example, in Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California, what they'll do is they make sure people in their church are registered. Then the pastor will tell people, bring your ballots on ballot harvesting Sunday. And they'll all come in and bring their ballots. And then they'll have a voter guide that they can go down and see how to vote their values and where the candidates stand on the issues. And that way they can vote intelligently. And then they hand the ballot to the pastor, and the pastor brings it to the polling booth. Now, that's legal. That's called ballot harvesting. Mm-hmm. That's what the radical left does to control elections in many states. And Republicans don't even know how to do it.
No.
here competing with it, but the church can. You give me four large churches and one local assembly or state senate area, you'll win the election. You give me six of those churches in a congressional district, we'll flip a seat from a radical socialist Democrat to a good candidate simply by doing the church vote.
I want you to say that again, because that is what you just said is so important. And because so many people are always wondering, what can I do? What can I do? This is something that people in our audience can actually go do. Those of you that go to a church service and are involved in your church, listen to what Craig just said. I think it's really important to make a difference in flipping seats, congressional seats and Senate seats in your state and in the federal government. Say that again, because I think it's important.
Sure. You can take a assembly or state Senate seat and change it. Even if you had no hope of winning that election before, you can flip that seat just by getting the church vote out. And six churches for a congressperson is huge. And that's the secret weapon. That's the power of the church that can be used. And there's, Christians can personally make sure that their church is involved in the election. If for some reason the church refuses to do that, they probably should change the church, but if they stay in that church, then they could still be able to register people one-on-one. They can be able to get people to volunteer to help candidates with texting and phoning or going door to door. There's so many things that can be done, but in the church, in the states that don't allow ballot harvesting, like Florida prohibits it, Tennessee prohibits it. It should be prohibited nationwide, but the states that do prohibit, you can still have the pastor be the main spark, or the church leadership, or a group within the church. I've gone, in the last election, I went to about 20 different churches, and the pastor invited us, my wife and I, to be able to speak to those people in the church and be able to give them how to vote their values and what the key issues are. Key issues like support of Israel. Key issues such as protecting Christian rights. Key issues such as protecting the unborn. These are things that Christians can agree on. And indeed, based upon the biblical values, biblical worldview, they have to vote that way. Otherwise, they're voting against their values, not for their values.
And a lot of people don't understand that, but that's a fantastic point. I know you just have a couple of more minutes. Give us two non-negotiables when, as a Christian, you're going to vote. What would be a couple that you would say?
Yeah, quite frankly, the book outlines some that people don't even think about. But one is protecting homeschooling and Christian schools and private schools and promoting school choice. That is so essential to protecting the little children, to being able to reach out to making sure the indoctrination doesn't happen. And it's something that also really gets moms excited. And so that's one of the non-negotiables. Another one is the persecuted church throughout the world. Right now, as we speak, Christians are being killed for their faith. And few know that under President Trump, one of the initiatives that was done and should be done again, whoever the president is, reaching out and saying to these governments that are allowing this persecution to happen, saying, we're not giving you foreign aid. We're not giving you any type of special treatment. You have to protect the religious minority, and also giving other types of help. And that's one of the issues. You're voting for brothers and sisters in Christ who are being killed for their faith. And then closely aligned right here in the U.S., one of the non-negotiables, I call it non-negotiable number one, is Christian liberty. The protection of people who are workers, to be able to be people of faith without persecution and having to be indoctrinated with strange ideologies or coerced to compromise their biblical values. It deals with Christian business owners being able to make choices without compromising their Christian values, because the radical left wants us to compromise. It deals with students who are at colleges and high schools, even junior highs, even elementary schools. It deals with there's a lawsuit now going on because Department of Veterans has a house for widows and of military. And this lady was doing a home Bible study within the facility. And the government said, you can't do that. Mm. Well, this type of thing is wrong. And this is why we need to protect religious liberty. You don't have to be a Christian to agree with that simple position, but these bureaucrats, these deep state bureaucrats that are ideologically driven, want to drive out religious faith, and they want to drive out in particular Christianity. And this is a war that's going on, and that's why this is a non-negotiable issue in the upcoming election.
We're at a point where we could lose this country. I speak about it a lot, and I think you've given some great points on some things that we can actually do. And Craig, I know your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you coming on, but I want to be respectful of your time. I know that you have to go, but thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Really enjoyed it, and I appreciate the time.
And a big thank you to Craig Huey there, also Chris Widener, for joining us here on the program tonight. Unleashed, the Political News Hour, it is coming up next, right here. Don't forget to go to AmericaOutloud.news for great content. There's the shop there. Use the code OUTLOUD for a discount, up to 25% off. Check that out. My name is Booker Scott, and you were told over 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. So keep being salty.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.